A6, 4.
Number 4A.
All right, we come to the next subject. After we have been considering those four sides of the Holy City, now we take up the Christ. And we first of all discuss together what is meant by the Christ and the Christ idea. This term, Christ idea, is used so much in our teaching and in the teaching of Mrs. Eddy that there is a danger that if one uses a term too often, that one after a while doesn't know what it really means, that one has a smattering sense of it. And so let's just discuss together from all angles what is meant by the Christ idea. I feel this is very important because in general when one reads on Christian Science, say the periodicals or so, one very seldom comes across the term Christ idea or even the term idea. Whereas in Christian Science, actually, this is one of the most important aspects, and therefore also one of the most important aspects for our daily life or for our whole attitude towards our life, towards the working out of things in our life. Namely, to see that there is a Christ idea and to see that this Christ idea is that which really is working always, either behind the scenes or right away visible to the human eye. So we tackle first the term Christ idea. We know that on a higher plane, you know that from the level book, that Mrs. Eddy considers the Christ as the true idea of God, or she says it is the divine idea of God. That's the Christ. It shows that the Christ relates back to God, to the Word. The moment we have seen, we talk about God Himself or God itself, we talk about the Word. But when the Word has an expression, then that expression is the Christ. So if we see that Christ is defined on a higher level, like divine science, as the true idea of God, or as the divine idea, then we should really be absolutely sure that we understand what is meant by this term idea. It's always used in the singular. We have discussed that years ago, that there is a great difference between idea in the singular, that can only be used in the singular, because there are not Christ ideas, there's only a Christ idea that cannot be put into the plural, whereas the realm of being at the point of Christianity is a realm of ideas, ideas reflecting ideas. That's quite a different proposition. So we must not be misled by the term idea and ideas, but we must see that they belong to different categories in the system. Now, if we take up what is meant by this idea, which is the Christ of God, we could ask ourselves what is meant by it, because idea is a term that is rather vague at the beginning, because the human language does not use the term idea in the way it is used in Christian Science. Therefore, it uses it wrongly or in a different way. But because we are used to the human language, we take over into science the meaning that idea has in the human language and put it into the language of Christian Science, and therefore we get a wrong sense of idea. Now, perhaps the best thing we can try to define what the Christ idea is, but is that we ask ourselves, how does it contrast to thought? Because usually in the human language, thought and idea are synonymous. We speak that a new thought came to me, but also a new idea came to me, that suddenly I had a new thought, meaning something has come into our consciousness, into our consciousness that is new, and so you sometimes call it a thought, sometimes we call it an idea. Now in Christian Science we must certainly make that distinction between thought and idea. And so let us see what is the difference between thought and idea. How could we define that difference? Actually, we can define that difference from various angles. What would you say, this is now a question, what would you say is the difference between a thought and an idea? An idea comes from God. Thought, we must make the difference, thought comes from man. So you point out first the difference in origin. That's very important. There is a difference in origin. Therefore, we can see that whatever comes from God has the nature of idea. Whatever comes from people, from men, from humans, are thoughts. Yeah? So the origin already gives us a clear distinction between thought and idea, that we see that difference. Is there any other difference that we can deduce from that differentiation? How does thought differentiate itself from idea? Yes? This is another aspect, huh? Yes? You say a thought is limited. Why is it limited? Yes? Yeah, absolutely. So you can go back to the first criterion, huh? And see the origin, because the origin of idea is infinite and the origin of thought is limited. Huh? Therefore, idea is always something that is infinite. Thought is always something that is limited to the human mind. So we have a difference in magnitude, so to say. First, a difference in origin, now a difference in magnitude. What else could we see constitutes the difference between thought and idea? Yes? Is that so? Is an idea coming from God subjective? Subjective to God, that's important to say. Huh? It's subjective to God. And the thought coming from man is? I don't think so. Huh? It's also subjective. Huh? It's subjective to man. Huh? So there is not really not a true comparison. But still, there is something in there. Hmm? Yes, we all only have to define it properly. Hmm? Yes, what is actually what you want to bring out there? Yes, or what else? All right, we can say that thoughts are human, ideas are divine. That relates to the first point we had of the origin. Huh? So that's another circumscribing it. That thoughts are human, ideas are divine. What else do we see about ideas? Yes? Yes? And thought is unreal? All right. Well, you could perhaps see that, huh? That ideas are always ideas of reality. See? Ideas of reality, whereas thoughts do not need to be pertaining to reality. They do not need to be there. They can also be elusive thoughts. I have made that difference. I said they may be, because we will see soon afterwards that Mrs. Eddy also speaks of God's thoughts. Doesn't she? and that thoughts come from God and return to God, that angels are God's thoughts and divine thoughts. Now, this is now a very critical point. Firstly, I've said that thoughts come from human, from the brain, therefore limited. Why on earth then is Mrs. Eddy entitled to speak about God's thoughts? Yes, yes. So you see, we have to be careful, huh? Not to take Mrs. Eddy's statements always literal, but we must see really the place value of, say, the term thought, namely that when an idea of God comes to man and enlightens man, then it comes to us as a divine thought, because it is translated from idea into thought, and therefore appears as God's thoughts, as right thoughts, as positive thoughts, as healing thoughts, I don't know what you can call them. But we must not forget that when she speaks in this way, that she does not speak about the origin of thought, the immediate origin of thought, but what is the counterfeit of immediate? Well, the term remolded, huh? Yeah. Remote. Oh no, no. All right. Let's just stick to our phraseology, as we have heard that thought can be either the immediate object of human thinking, but it can also be the translated form of an idea of God. Therefore, it's not no more immediate, it is the translated form of an idea, and manifests itself as thought, as true thought, as a good thought, as a healing thought, and whatever we can call it in a positive way. Yes. So here already we have a kind of difficulty that we have to take into account, and as we then go through the Christ order, we will come back to this very point again, and there perhaps we see it even clearer. Let's go on in trying to define really the difference between thought and idea. So up to now we had the origin is different, either God or man. The ideas are infinite, unlimited, whereas thoughts are limited because they have a limited source. Then we have seen that thoughts can be translated form of ideas, yes, that ideas are the only reality we have seen, whereas thoughts may be illusions. There we started in with the maybe, because they can be either translated form of ideas, then they are not illusions. As if they are from the origin of mortal mind, of the human mind, from the brain, they are illusions. What else could we see about thought and idea? What is the difference? Ideas are structured, and thought can be at random. Yes, yes, yes. What else could we see? Why do we rely on ideas instead of thoughts? Now working out things, yes? That's it. Huh? That's a very big point. Huh? That thoughts, now here we have it, can be good or bad. Huh? We don't say thoughts are always bad because they come from the human mind. They can be good, namely then when they are translated form of ideas. But ideas are always, either you can say good or beyond really the calculation of good and evil. That an idea is no more measured in the balance of good and evil. Something like this, that you say, well, is 2 and 2 4 good or evil? And actually you would say, well, it is neither, no? It is just a fact. It is no more weighed and evaluated in the dualistic sense of good and evil. It's much higher than that, and I think that's one of the big points that must be brought out, that ideas are free from the evaluation of good and evil. They are just those wonderful, absolute facts of being, constituting the reality of being, and they are free from good and evil. Yes? What else could you say? Yes?
The idea is automatically relative to every
other idea. Yes. Yes. So that's a big point that somebody else before also wants to bring out. They are structured. The other are at random. This is another expression to show that and a thought can just be at random, I think you said, unrelated, just out of the blue, without really any purpose in it, without any aim in it. Whereas an idea has always a purpose, has always an aim, is always directed to a final goal. So the Christ idea is really telefinalistic. That means an idea is always directed to a final high goal, where a thought is just at random, just a wilderness of thought. And this makes a terrific difference, naturally. A terrific difference which shows us that if we work out something on the basis of ideas instead of thoughts, that we work out something on a basis that has right from the beginning a goal-directed aim, and therefore will use everything to arrive at the fulfillment of this goal. It's goal-directed, it's directed to a fulfillment, whereas a thought cannot do that. So you can feel the terrific importance of an idea, and on relying on idea instead of good thoughts. The good thoughts may just be good humanly and not achieve anything, and in final analysis may just be bad, actually, just may not bring the fulfillment that is desired. As an idea is so reliable that it is only working out a high goal. You see in this very point something very big. But if we talk about that God has an idea, if we talk about the Christ idea, we always talk about that very fact that the divine mind conceives of something, of an image, conceives an idea, an image, and in that conception is already embedded all the necessary channels, opportunities, situations, all the power and the possibilities necessary for the fulfillment of this idea. So it is an idea, therefore, is not only a conception like a thought. Thought is also a conception of the human mind. But that conception is such a conception that it carries within itself the fulfillment of that conception. That's why when we conceive of an idea, we are entitled, so to say, we are entrusted to put all our trust into that idea, knowing that right from the beginning the idea was conceived such that it will fulfill itself. There is no question of an idea if that idea will fulfill itself or not. As with a thought, you never know. What other difference could we bring out between a thought and an idea? Why we should work with ideas, why not work with positive thinking? Yeah, that's true. Huh? But an idea has an identity. What does that mean, if an idea has an identity? Well, identity usually, therefore, is defined as that, where we see that an idea that has identity has all that is necessary to be what it is. Huh? That's really the the big point of an identity, that it has within itself everything which is necessary to be what it is. Whereas a thought only assumes that it has all that it needs to have. We have some kind of a new concept of thought. We call it an idea, but it's a thought. And say, well, I got this and that thought, so I'm going along that thought. I'm going to work it out along the thought that came to me. And step by step, we find then out that this thought is lacking practically everything that is necessary for that thought to fulfill itself. That with every step you make, that you feel, yes, but this is lacking, that is lacking, this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, this stands in the way and that stands in the way, and you are constantly at the point where you feel that thought doesn't contain within itself all that is necessary for that thought to be fulfilled, to be full, to have identity. There's an idea, and this is the terrific thing about idea, and that's why an idea does fulfill itself, because it has identity. It says, this idea contains everything that is necessary for the idea to fulfill itself. Everything. It has within itself everything. The intelligence of it, the substance of it, the opportunities of it, the channels through which to work. That the idea has within itself the power to overcome every resistance, has within itself the intelligence to overcome the resistance and the whole web of mortal mind round about it. It just pierces right through, and therefore nothing is lacking. It is an idea. Why it isn't lacking? Because we saw before, an idea reflects every other idea. There's a full sense of idea, whereas a thought does not reflect every other thought, every right thought. Yes? What is another characteristic of an idea? Just if we follow on from this, for instance, you see something very important, that an idea is self-operative. Whereas a thought, you always have to make thoughts work. Whereas if we conceive of an idea, we can see that this idea has within itself everything to operate and to operate by itself so as to fulfill its initial purpose. So it's self-operative. A thought is never self-operative. We always have to run around and make it work. We have to take care of that thought, that nobody interferes with it, that nobody puts any obstacle in between, and we have to telephone and talk and do things that this thought is not, opposed by all kinds of mortal mind. If we got an idea, we can trust in the idea that it finds its own ways and means to operate, it finds its own ways and means to fulfill its purpose.